Take a seat this morning. It's so great to see you all this morning, to be together with God's people, to sing His praises together, to cry out to Him together. I need the Lord. Do you need the Lord? Man, we all need the Lord. Every hour. Oh, how I need you. Something about music, the way that it captures truths that we believe. We all, I think, probably believe, as for Christians, that is, that we need the Lord. And we can say that we need the Lord, and we can pray that we need the Lord. Lord, I need you today. Something about music. I'm guessing next time you're praying and you're saying to the Lord, I'm hoping that the notes of that song, that melody, will come to your mind. You will sing to the Lord, Lord, I need you. How I need you. Every hour I need you. Turn in your Bibles with me this morning. Psalm 119. Verses 105 to 112. If you need a Bible, by the way, Lee, would you mind to grab a few of those? Maybe I think there might be a few folks. Anyone need a Bible this morning? I want everyone to be able to have a Bible this morning in front of them. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. Paula and Lee are going to come around and have some Bibles. Psalm 119, verses 105 to 112. Psalmist writes, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. Let's thank the Lord for His word. Father, from our hearts, we're grateful to you for your word. We come to you today acknowledging that we live in a dark world. We live in a dangerous world, Lord. We live in a deceived world. A world that's fallen under the curse of sin. Yet you, in your great grace, have chosen, before the world was ever even formed, you have chosen to reveal yourself to us. To bring light into our darkness. Your word, Lord, is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. May we embrace this truth as never before, Lord. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. There are a few verses in the Bible about the Bible that leave us with such a vivid and memorable picture of what the Word of God is and what it does. But this verse, 105, which is where we're going to focus primarily today, isn't just a verse about the Word of God. It's also about the God of the Word. And it's about you and I. It's about humankind and our God-given, God-assigned purpose as beings made in His image. This is a powerful, powerful verse. Songs are written about this verse, written based on this verse. This is part of a song. Psalm 119 is a 22-stanza hymn of praise to God. We've been looking at this for most of the year now. I hope you've picked up on a couple of really important truths along the way as well. Number one, the psalmist, I often refer to him as David, We don't have any certainty, 100% certainty, that it was David who wrote this. I believe it was him, but I refer to the psalmist often as David. But if it was someone else, it doesn't matter. It's still God's Word. It's still inspired. It's still profitable for us. But the psalmist was really into God's Word. God's Word, God's law, God's commands, God's statutes, God's precepts, God's rules, God's ordinances are really, really important to the psalmist. I hope you've seen that. I hope you've noticed the fact that virtually every single verse contains some reference to God's Word, your laws, statutes, ordinances. Different names given to it. He's talking about God's Word. He's talking about the fact that God has given him words to live by. God's Word is really important to the psalmist. That's number one truth. Number two truth, the psalmist is in a really bad place in his life. He's in the midst of some serious affliction. He has a lot of enemies. He has not too many friends, a lot of opponents. He's a king. And there are those trying to take his kingship away, trying to destroy him and put themselves on the throne in his place. He is in a bad place. He loves God's Word. He's in a really bad place. And as he's in the midst of that bad place, as he walks through this dark, difficult time in his life, he is drawing his strength. He's drawing his assurance. He's drawing all of his hope from God's Word. This Word that God has given him. I want to take this sentence, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, verse 105. I want to take it and kind of break it down into its parts today. Any of you remember diagramming sentences in grade school? Anybody? Nobody did that? Okay, all right. A few of you did that. All right. I was an English major in college, so I got a reintroduction to sentence diagramming a little bit later on. Now I went to seminary and they made us do it in Greek and Hebrew and it just confused me. But I think it's a really helpful exercise. As we get into God's Word and as you study God's Word, there's one thing that I, as a pastor, just really am passionate about is that you each are intensely devoted to God's Word, to studying it, to understanding it, to applying it to your life. I really want that. And one thing that I think is helpful is to take a sentence like verse 105 and to kind of break it down into its parts. Sentence usually has a subject and a predicate, a referent and an action word. This sentence is just like that. It has that. If we look at this word, the subject is what? Verse 105. What's the subject of that sentence? What is it? Word. Who said just word by itself? Did somebody say that? Yes, thank you. Word is the subject. And what's the action word? What is it? Is. Word is. Now, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense just with those two words. That's why all the other modifying words are around it there. The first modifying word that modifies the subject, word, is, it's a pronoun, your. Thank you. This is English 101 this morning. Your word. That's a personal, possessive, second person pronoun. This is huge. The psalmist is saying this isn't just anybody's word. This isn't just some word. This isn't my word. This isn't some other person's word. This is your word. He's talking to the Lord. God, all throughout Psalm 119, is the audience. He's the addressee. He is the one receiving this praise. He is the one that the psalmist is talking to. Your word is. Now that carries some more meaning for us. Even just those three words, your word is. He doesn't say, your thought is. That's important. Because a thought, you know, it can stay in your own head. A thought can be something that you just keep to yourself. A word is a formed thought. A word is a communicated thought. Your word is. How about is? What tense is that? Present tense, Katie, very good. Your word is, not your word was. Your word was a lamp to my feet, but I left it on top of my car and drove off down the road and it's in a ditch somewhere. No, it's not past tense. It's present tense. Your word is present tense right now. Those three words, I'm telling you, massive meaning, massive power for our lives. Your word is. Your God, God, you have a word. You have given me a word, and it is present tense. It's not some old, historical-only word. It's not antiquated, outdated, irrelevant, carrying meaning only for people who lived a couple thousand years ago. Your word is across language after language after language, after translation upon translation upon translation, down through the millennia. His word is, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the word still is for us. Present tense. In your situation, God's word is meaningful. It is powerful. Carries with it present tense power. Your word is. Man, we can rejoice and give God praise and glory for those three words by themselves. But there's more. There are other modifiers that come along after this the psalmist uses to talk about the Word and how it is. What is it like? It is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Two pictures there. What do we know about lamps? That's the kind of lamp he's talking about right there. A little oil lamp. They would put olive oil or some other type of oil into this little ceramic container. Light one end of it. It would give light. Lamps give off light, don't they? What else do they give off? Heat. That's important. Why didn't the psalmist just say, "Your word is a light to my path"? Been more concise, more to the point. Now he makes a point of talking about the word not just as light, but as a source of light. A lamp is a source of light. The sun is a source of light. I can look out these doors and see the effects of the sun. But I don't see the sun. The psalmist is indicating here, I can walk along a path and have the effects of light around me and not see the source of that light. No, he wants to talk about God's Word, not just as giving off an effect of light, but as a source of light. Your Word is a lamp. It is a source of light for my feet. It's a source of light, and it's a source of heat. When I think of illumination and enlightenment and light, when I think of a lamp, I've typically thought of this as, well, he's talking about illumination of the mind, enlightenment of the mind. God's Word enlightens our minds. But no, he says, your Word is a lamp to my feet. Why does he talk about it that way? What? Guiding you. Yeah. The Word, your Word is a lamp to my feet. Not just to my mind, illuminating my mind, making me a more intelligent, enlightened person. No, your Word is a lamp to my feet. This is where I want to make the point about this is a statement not just about the Bible, not just about the God of the Bible, but about you and I and our purpose. What does this say about us? Your word is a lamp to my feet. What do our feet do? They move us, don't they? They move us along. We are not created to be static, stationary, immobile beings. We are created by God to be motive beings, people in motion, moving somewhere, advancing towards something. Your word is a lamp to my feet. My feet need to be able to see where they're stepping because I'm going somewhere. I like the fact that he uses this lamp image as well, because a lamp gives off not only light, it gives off heat. You know, it's possible to be illuminated in the mind, to have an enlightened mind, to know a lot, but to not have any passion. Is it possible to have daylight without heat? Come on, we live in Northeast Ohio. Ever been here in January? You see the light of the sun, but we don't feel much heat, do we? The psalmist is saying our minds are like this. We can be enlightened in the mind. We can have a lot of facts and knowledge in our minds and not have any passion. Not care about anyone else. Your word is a lamp. It not only illuminates my life, it warms me. It animates me. It moves me. Stirs me. The word is a fire. God Himself is described as a consuming fire. And His Word is a fire that warms us, stirs us, compels us, motivates us. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God intends for us to be people moving somewhere. Where are we going? Your Word is a lamp to my feet. Where is God's Word guiding us? Where is it taking us? To heaven, hopefully. To Himself. Does God desire to be with us? Does He desire to passionately draw us, each and every one of us, to Himself? You better believe He does. Why else would He give us a word? Why else would He give us instructions and information that we need? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Why is that so important? Well, notice with me verse 110. We need light on our path because the wicked have laid a snare for me. I prayed as I opened the message today, acknowledging to God, Lord, we live in a dark world. We live in a dangerous world. It's a deceived world. And it is so because of sin. And all men have fallen into that darkness of sin. You and I were each conceived in sin, as the psalmist himself says in another psalm, conceived in sin, conceived in darkness, spiritual darkness, conceived in rebellion against God. It's the effects of the original sin of Adam and Eve. Choosing not only for themselves, but for their entire race that they began to bring upon all of us, a curse of darkness. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, because the wicked have laid a snare for me. There are all kinds of snares. I don't need to tell you this. There are all kinds of snares in the world. And what do snares grab? They don't grab your neck, do they? They don't grab your arm. No, the snares are they're hidden down there in the leaves, and they grab your feet. You step on a deadfall trap with your feet. You step into that noose that's laying on the ground with your feet. Our feet are what are moving us. If we don't move anywhere, we don't have to worry about any snares, do we? Since we're people who are moving, we're people on a mission, since God has given us a purpose and drawing us to Himself through the midst of this dark world that we live in, we need illumination for our feet because there's all kinds of traps. But if you're not moving, nothing to worry about. Let's look at some of these other verses in the light of verse 105. He says in verse 106, I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I've sworn an oath and have confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. How many of you take your spiritual life? How many of you take obedience that seriously? How many of you take obeying God's Word, living in accordance with God's Word, with that much seriousness that you'd be willing to swear an oath to God? And not only swear it, but commit yourself to confirming that oath. I'm going to swear to you, Lord. Now, some of you say, well, that's you shouldn't do that because we're all going to make mistakes and we shouldn't make God promises that we can't keep. That's not what the psalmist's point is. His point is not, Lord, I'm going to be perfect from now on. No, he's saying, it is that important to me, Lord, that I want to swear to you that I'm going to do everything that I can with your help to live in accordance with your word, to keep your righteous rules. Obedience was huge for the psalmist. Remember what we talked about last week? If you were here, we were in the preceding stanza up in verses 100 and 101. I understand, he says, more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. Obedience is primary. He's not saying, hey, I'm smarter than all these old guys that have been studying the Bible their whole lives. And he's saying, I understand your word because I obey your word. For the Christian, for the child of God, obedience must come before understanding. It must. When my son Landon runs out of the garage before I can grab him, I'm really glad that we did a good job when he was little training him that line where the curb meets the driveway is as far as you go, because he'll bolt out of there. And he'll even run right up to it and he'll like stop. And he'll kind of hover over the street there. But he knows he's not supposed to go into the street. We taught him that before he ever got hit by a car. And he's never been hit by a car. But we wanted to teach him that truth before he understood why. Because you could get hit by a car. He didn't know that. We just made the rule. Don't cross this line. And he doesn't. 99% of the time. That's what it's like for you and I. We are not going to understand this ever exhaustively on this earth. It's too deep. It's too high. But what we can understand of it, we have to obey. And as we do so, we'll understand more. As we do so, we'll understand more of it. He says in verse 101, up an earlier passage, I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. Keeping God's word was so central, so primary to the psalmist. And it preceded understanding. Exhaustive understanding, as I said last week, exhaustive understanding of the Word of God must never be a precondition for obedience. We understand what we know, what's clear, and we live that faithfully, diligently. And as we do so, as time passes, He gives us more light. He gives us understanding. I am severely afflicted, he says in verse 107, give me life, O Lord, according to your word. It's no news. We've been in Psalm 119 for a long time. He's an afflicted man, severely afflicted. Give me life according to your word. You and I are going to live. We've talked this year a lot about affliction and about difficulty. And a lot of you, I think it's God's providence that we're talking about that a lot. That's come up a lot in the texts that I've been preaching through this year. Because I think there are a lot of you who are in places of affliction. You're in places of difficulty in your lives. Whether it's physical or relational or occupational. Just all kinds of struggles. And this is normal. I want you to know it's normal. He's in a place of severe affliction. So he prays to God, give me life. Affliction has this soul-deadening kind of effect. It makes us feel dull. It hardens us. It makes us feel kind of cold and dead. But the psalmist doesn't want that to be the definition of his life. No, he wants to live for God. So he prays to God, give me life according to your word which is a lamp unto my feet. My dad and I used to go hunting. And my dad really wanted me to get a deer, you know, when I was a kid. And he'd take me out and we'd get out there middle of the night, like dark in the woods, and he'd put me by a tree. It'd be like January. Or he put me up in a tree stand. He'd say, now you stay here. It's going to be light in a little while. I'm going to go make a loop. He's going to try to flush a deer out to me, you know. I'm standing there freezing. My feet are so cold. I could care less if a deer came along. I can't see anything. I don't know where I'm at. I'm standing here holding this gun or this bow and arrow and freezing. Before long, I start doing this just to try to get some blood going, circulating. My dad's happy as a lark when he shows back up. You know, he's been walking, you know, circulation. He's creating heat. I'm freezing here. We get still spiritually. We're going to start to get cold. And our feet are going to be the first to go. The furthest from the heart. God's created us to be people in motion, people going somewhere, people using our feet. We have a purpose. We have a gospel to take to people. We have good news to go and share with people. So if our feet get cold, we're not going to be moving. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Warms us. I never got a deer. Standing by the tree or shaking up in the tree stand. I always had to start moving, so I'm sure the deer saw me from far away and just said, I'll go this way instead. We have to generate heat, and God gives us heat. He gives us His Word. In the morning when you wake up and you're cold and you've dreamed things that just confuse you and you're feeling spiritually dry and spiritually cold, this ought to be in front of you like a fire and coming into your mind and into your heart, warming you like a fire from God, praying, Lord, give me life today. Give me some heat. I need it. I hope that's the reality for you. I confess, it isn't always for me. I get up and instead of opening this, I open my laptop. No heat comes into my soul from that, from email. And I loathe those days. I hate that. Because the day is, for all intents and purposes, lost spiritually when I start my day that way. We have to start our day with fire from God. I want to just admonish you, encourage you, start your day with fire, with a lamp from the Lord for your feet. Don't let your feet get cold. Be about His purpose. Accept my free will offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. If we're going to be able to give free will offerings from our hearts to the Lord, we have to be in His Word. Notice verse 109. Verses 108 and verses 109 indicate something important, I think, for us to understand. Accept my free will offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. This psalm, I think, straddles a very important tension that we find in the Bible. If you've been a Christian for very long, you've probably had to wrestle with, and maybe you're still wrestling with, I still wrestle with, this tension that we find in the Bible between the sovereignty of God. He is fully sovereign. He is a God who controls and knows all things exhaustively. Tension between that and my responsibility as a human. My will. God's will, my will. The psalmist is saying here, he's acknowledging fully God's sovereignty. God, you're sovereign. You're going to do what you want with me. I am yours. I belong to you. I'm your possession. You're sovereign. However, he says, I hold my life in my hand continually. But I do not forget your law. The psalmist has a will. God has a will that's at work as well. I hold my life in my hand, but I do not forget your law. Your Spirit has come into my life. Your Spirit has taken your word and applied it to my life. You and I as Christians, we have a will. It's a free will. But at the same time, it is an arrested will. God has arrested our will by His grace. Every human has a will. As I said before, every human's will is corrupt. Every human's will has fallen under the curse of sin. Therefore, our will naturally is to rebel against God. You and I, however, our will has been arrested by God's grace. Through the power of the gospel, the Holy Spirit has reached down into our lives and called us to Himself and transformed us, regenerated us, made us new creatures. And that includes our will. So now we're able to exert our will in a Godward direction. Accept my free will offerings of praise. And teach me your rules. I want to give you of my free will. I want to praise you, but I want to be taught. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. God is a sovereign God, but you are a responsible and accountable soul. We never have a right. The Word of God never gives us the right to push the cruise control button and just coast along on His sovereignty and, oh, it'll all just work out. No, we have a will. We have responsibility. We're accountable creatures to Him. He's made us in His image. Therefore, our wills, to an extent, reflect His will. His image. And thanks be to God, by the grace of Jesus Christ, our wills have been transformed. Now we can offer Him, of our own free will, offerings of praise. Look at verses 111 and 112. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. When something brings you joy, you want more of it, don't you? I've talked in here a lot about my wife's cookie pie. Brings me joy. She made one of her best this week, ever. It brings me joy, but it brings me calories too. When something brings us joy, we want more of it. But not all things that bring us joy should we indulge in at every moment. But the Word of God is one that we can indulge in. Your Word, your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I hope that you're craving more and more and more of God's Word. I hope that it's a joy to you. Therefore, he says in 112, I incline my heart to perform your statutes. I incline my heart. He's exercising his redeemed, regenerated will to incline himself to perform, to do God's statutes, to live in a way that honors and glorifies his Savior. I want to close the message today with a song that I grew up singing. I grew up in a home where we liked Amy Grant, and I love this song. It's a song built off of this verse. 105. Some of you will know it. I believe the words are going to be on the screen. I want to sing this together and just let this song cap off the end of the message. If you're here today and you're in a place of spiritual darkness and you feel like there's no light for your path and you're just wandering, you're groping about, aimless, there is light for you. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God has given us light. We see it in pages of paper, in black ink. Maybe yours has gold around the edges and leather binding. Listen, He has a name. His name is Jesus. He is the light of the world. And that light has come into this dark world. His light can shine in your life today. I want you to embrace Christ as your light, as your Savior today. If you're a Christian and you're lacking heat, His Word is a lamp to your feet. If your feet have gotten cold and you've gotten still in your faith, let the Word of God warm you. There's a lot of truth in this song.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And when I feel afraid, I think I've lost my way, still You're there right beside me. And nothing will I fear as long as You are near. Please be near me to the end. Oh, lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Oh, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I will not forget, I will not forget Your love for me, and yet heart forever is wandering. Jesus, be my guide and hold me to Your side, and I will love You to the I fear, nothing will I fear as long as You are near. Please be near me to the end. Sing with me, Thy word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Oh, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And a light unto my path. You're the light unto my path.